You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's January 15th, 2026, and welcome to episode 166 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. I apologize if my voice sounds a little bit off. I've been a bit under the weather, stayed home from work today, just watched Culinary Class Wars all day. On this week's show, I'm going to be talking about the game Raft. Ooh, I can't wait to talk about this one. But we are going to start off the show with a look at the headlines from this past week, and 2026 doesn't look to be any easier for the games industry than 2025 was, with the first studio closures and layoffs already hitting just a couple of weeks into the year. Meta announced layoffs and the closure of two of their VR game studios, Twisted Pixel and Sanzaru Games. Twisted Pixel became popular in the Xbox 360 era, and you might remember some of their games like Splosion Man and The Maw. I was a big Splosion Man fan. And they just recently released the Deadpool VR game for the MetaQuest 3. And Sanzaru Games was known for their Asgard's Wrath titles. We also found out that the legendary Xbox figure Larry Herb, also known as Major Nelson, was laid off from his position at Unity. He left his position at Xbox, at Microsoft, rather, after 22 years and joined Unity last year as their director of community, or 2024, I think it was. But yeah, he has already become the latest in a string of departures at that company. And in a statement, he said, "I am grateful for the creators and the teams that I had the chance to support. Now I am excited to explore the next chapter." With the way that the economy is and the strain of ongoing tariffs and the increasing cost of components, I am afraid that this will only be the beginning of a rough year for the industry. But I hope I'm wrong. And hopefully those affected will land on their feet right away. So today's show is a little bit of a story, so sit back, bear with me. So over the holidays, I got both of my kids a Steam gift card. They do most of their gaming on PC, so that's what they wanted. And on Christmas Day, they went back and forth a little bit on what games they wanted to download. But they both ended up deciding to get Raft because it was something that they could play together. So while my wife and I were cooking and just kind of chilling out in the living room, they sat around on their laptops and played. And Charlie cast his screen to the television so that we could, you know, kind of watch while they were playing. I knew practically nothing about this game beforehand, but basically it's a survival and a crafting game. You start out on this little, you know, 2x2 foot square wooden raft that's just floating in the ocean, and you've got this little hook that you can, it's attached to a rope that you can toss out and try to catch debris as it is floating by. Wood or palms from a tree, bits of plastic, that sort of thing. You could also jump in the water to try to grab things, but there's sharks that will appear, so it's risky to do that. As you collect stuff, you can start to craft things. You know, you can make a little cup for water, a makeshift bed, and you can make your raft larger, expanding it outwards. Eventually, you can make a small sail to help you move around, and on occasion, you'll come across small islands where you can find more resources, as well as things like fruit or wild animals that you can hunt and kill with your makeshift spear. It's a fun little gameplay loop. You know, you sail, you collect, you craft, and repeat. So they played that on and off throughout the day, and then the next morning my wife and I wake up and we're sitting in the living room, as we usually are in the morning, drinking our coffee, and she says to me, "I kind of want to play that raft game." So I know that she doesn't have any interest in playing it on PC, so I looked it up, and not only is the game available on Xbox, but it has cross-platform co-op as well. So, hot dang. I buy a copy of the game, and when the kids wake up, the three of them jump into a game together. And once there were three of them, things started to move much quicker. The resources were coming faster, and the raft grew larger. Soon they had an anchor and a little grill to catch fish, or to cook fish, a simple water purifier. It was going along really well. And then I thought to myself, you know, this would go even better with a fourth person. So I bought another copy of the game. And since Christina was on the Xbox and the kids were on the laptops, I set up a little tray table and I synced an Xbox controller to my iPad and I streamed the game through the Xbox app. And we did something that I don't think we have ever done together as a family, and something that I personally haven't done in many years. We played that game all day. Like, we stopped for dinner, but other than that, we played that game straight until probably like 9 or 10 p.m. It was like a good 10 hours or so on just that day. It was nuts. We were just hooked. We don't do that. And with all four of us playing together, we became this well-oiled machine. We each kind of had our roles to play. We built a kitchen on the ship, and my wife was kind of in charge of fishing and cooking and keeping all that supplied for us. There's recipes that you can find all over the world that give you, meals that you can make with extra boosts to your stamina and whatnot. Sam kind of fell into the navigator role, steering us toward our various destinations. Charlie would be the one to do most of the exploring when we'd reach an island, you know, looking for crates of resources and gathering food. And I would be the one to do usually like the diving, getting clay for making bowls and cups, sand to make glass, and gathering scrap metal on the ocean floor. While I think this game would be perfectly fine as a solo experience, there's so much to do the further you get that it's just much more satisfying with other people. There's fishing, hunting, cooking, diving, smelting, crafting, navigating, trading, raise the sails, lower the anchor. It's a lot to juggle. So I recommend having at least one other person to play with. One of the coolest things in the game I didn't know about at all in the beginning are the bits of story and lore that are scattered around the world. As you progress, you'll find blueprints to make equipment, including an antenna. And once you're able to power it, you'll pick up a radio signal with coordinates. And if you follow those coordinates, it'll lead you to secret locations where you'll learn about the history of this flooded world and find more new items and blueprints and maybe other survivors. It's a cool layer to the game that I wasn't expecting, but I really, really ended up liking. At this point, I think we've put in around like 60 hours or so into the game, and our tiny little life raft has turned into a three-floor luxury yacht. We've got engines and electric navigation controls and bedrooms and a kitchen and a bathroom, animals that we use for milk and eggs, and even a zip line that you can ride from the top of the crow's nest down to the main deck. It's pretty damn awesome. We've got one more story section to do that we haven't done yet. And we've unlocked, I feel like, pretty much everything there is to do in the game. So I don't know how much longer we're going to be at it. But the time that we've spent cruising around the ocean is honestly some of the most fun I've had with a game in a long time. Definitely one of my favorite co-op experiences ever. Finally, today, I wanted to update you all a little bit on what's been going on here in the Twin Cities. I spoke about it last episode, and things have only gotten worse around here. Since the murder of Renee Good and the ensuing outrage from the community, the regime has doubled down on their efforts, increasing ICE patrols and getting even more aggressive, grabbing children, grabbing parents, assaulting bystanders, including the city council president, who was shoved to the ground, and basically showing no regard for the law or the people of Minnesota. What they didn't expect, though, is for the community to stand up against them. For all of their numbers and their tactical gear and their guns, residents around here have continued to show up day after day, get in their face, record their activities, and show them that we refuse to be intimidated, because we will defend our neighbors. We love our neighbors. And at the end of the day, these are nothing but bullies. You know, they're well-funded bullies and they've got numbers, but really they're still just small, insignificant men who hide behind masks and body armor to bully people. They're weak and pathetic, and they'll eventually back down and retreat, like all bullies do when you stand up to them. But if you would like to show your support, you can donate to places like the Immigrant Law Center of Minnesota, which is an organization that offers legal assistance to immigrant families and refugees. They are definitely worth checking out. And if you live in an affected community, you know, either here in the Twin Cities or, you know, this is happening around the country, you know, it's particularly bad here, but it's going on all over the place. You can support your neighbors by offering to go out for them to get groceries or other errands. You know, a lot of them are scared to leave their homes right now. Or you can offer to provide rides. My kid's school right now has been putting together a kind of a group to offer rides to kids after school so that they can get home safely without the fear of getting snatched up, you know. So those are all good ideas. As long as we continue to support each other and we don't back down, we will defeat these fascists. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. Don't forget, you can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you would like to show your support for the show, you can do that by subscribing and leaving a review. So until next time, I am your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and don't forget to save.